But let's start with crowdfunding. In the United States, online crowdfunding has been called the sad, dark future of healthcare. Of course, Australia has universal healthcare, well, supposedly, and it's meant to keep people from falling through the cracks. So why are Australians turning to online platforms to raise money after an accident or a diagnosis? On platforms like GoFundMe, Australians have raised more than $145 million for personal causes. And medical campaigns are the most popular category. Ariel Bogle takes a look.
The hurdle I'm currently facing is I now need at-home oxygen. We were meant to be on our honeymoon yesterday, which is our second attempt because I was hospitalised after our first attempt of a honeymoon. When you're not working, you don't have that sort of money. So that's where this crowdfunding page I can turn to if there's money there. Pull it off and it can help cover some of the costs.
That's Yasmin Ramsey. She's used online crowdfunding to support medical care. But Australia has a public healthcare system. Is it truly universal if people are turning to the internet for help? Yasmin was diagnosed with a rare primary cancer of the appendix in 2016 and became one of hundreds of Australians who have turned to medical crowdfunding for financial support. But why is that? Even with private insurance, it can be hard to calculate the full financial burden of something like stage 4 cancer. For people like Yasmin, that's where online crowdfunding can make up the difference.
We've had to rent out the house, move into my parents' house with them just to financially manage the cost of medical, the cost of my husband having to stay in accommodation near where I was while I was in surgery because we were too far to commute. It's all come in handy. We'd be lost without it.
I think one of the problems in the Australian healthcare system is the level of out-of-pocket costs generally.
Stephen Duckett is the director of the Grattan Institute's health program. He warns crowdfunding can sometimes be used to fund experimental treatments that Australia shouldn't pay for. But he acknowledges getting medical help can be pricey.
Surprisingly, the Australian healthcare system has one of the highest levels of out-of-pocket expenditure amongst comparable countries. And so, of our $160 billion or so that we spent on healthcare in 2015-2016, almost $29-30 billion came from out-of-pocket costs. And much of that, the largest single component, was medications. And those are of two kinds, both over-the-counter medications and also medications which are not on the pharmaceutical benefit scheme. So about almost $10 billion of our $160 billion is on out-of-pockets for pharmaceuticals. Many people defer going to see a doctor, defer going to the dentist, defer getting a prescription because of out-of-pocket costs, because they can't afford it. And obviously, out-of-pocket costs are much more significant for people on low incomes than higher incomes. So the very fact that we have such high levels of out-of-pocket expenditure is already a canary in the coal mine, let alone the increase in crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding can also push campaigners down an uncomfortable path. To be successful, you must become an expert marketer of yourself and your illness. Post photos, share videos from the hospital bed, tempt people to click and donate. As Yasmin put it,
who's got the better story? Who's the more needy person?
On websites like GoFundMe, videos like this one involving children are really common.
Okay. Well, I like to help those in need because actually, I don't have an answer to that. I just do it because I like to give.
Some parents feel like it's a bit of a popularity contest. Tricia Kashmir says that was certainly her experience.
It made me extremely uncomfortable, to be honest.
Her son, Angus, was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2015, and the family estimated they would need about $180,000 to cover the doses. They turned to the charity Rare Cancers Australia and its crowdfunding site. The campaign was an extraordinary success. There was media coverage and people donated more than double their goal of $100,000. But Tricia still didn't feel entirely comfortable.
Angus is a he's my son, so he's amazing to me. But he's he was a school captain of his school. He's a very engaging sort of kid. He presents really well. And he's a child, which I think people feel very sympathetic towards children with cancer. Anybody who's dealing with a cancer diagnosis, and especially a cancer that they can't get treatment for, I mean, usually that's people who have rare cancers or people who have cancers that have progressed with traditional therapies, it's a terrible situation to be in. So to think that if only you were, you know, a bit cuter or a bit more telegenic, you'd be able to get access to what you need, it actually makes me feel, yeah, very uncomfortable and not ungrateful that people wanted to support my son, but there are so many other people who need help that don't get what we got.
We may not like to admit it, but there are narratives we tell about sick people, and some are more engaging than others. Crowdfunding didn't invent these stories, but to win someone's sympathy on a website like GoFundMe, you may need to play the game.
The idea of a brave child or the male breadwinner who's been struck down by an early onset case of cancer. You know, these are kind of dominant tropes, but they also reinforce certain ideas about deservingness.
Nora Kenworthy is an assistant professor in the School of Nursing and Health Studies at the University of Washington, Bothell. There's not much Australian research about who crowdfunding works for, but Dr. Kenworthy found in a US study that campaigners with a single significant medical crisis were often more successful. It's simply an easier story to tell.
That's in part because they present this very urgent problem to their social network, but they are also able to articulate it as a sort of solvable problem. You know, like, if you give me money right now, things will get better for me. Here's what I need in this moment.
So if it worked for those people, who didn't it work for?
There are plenty of other categories of people out there that then become seen as somewhat less deserving of this kind of crowdfunding assistance. So the elderly, for example, or people with stigmatized conditions, or perhaps people who have had unhealthy behaviors like smoking. Where we saw people really struggling was when they had multiple chronic, ongoing health and social crises that were happening in their families. And for them, it was really hard to tell a short, compelling, you know, spreadable story about what they needed and what they were going through.
What should we make of the fact that Australians are crowdfunding medical care? For Tricia, it identifies a gap in the healthcare system. For people with rare cancers, getting the help you need has historically been challenging. Broadcasting her family's experiences was a tough choice. It's not one we should expect everyone to make.
You know, and we're not public people and we're not even public within our community. You know, some people tend to be more comfortable sharing on Facebook even or whatever, and we're not those people. But that was actually one of the things that made me feel a bit better about it, because I understood that by sharing our story and our experience that might change the situation for other people. And certainly, you know, I see now that with what's happening in the rare cancer space, that more of these types of drugs are coming onto the PBS, that more people are getting access to medication.
So is medical crowdfunding simply a byproduct of the internet? Or does it show a gap at the heart of how Australia cares for its citizens?
You know, when it's you in the situation, you just want to do everything you can to be better or to, you know, live longer or to have a better quality of life. So it's a very difficult moral landscape, I think.
Technology reporter Ariel Bogle with that story. And you're listening to The Health Report here on RN, ABC News and CBC Radio across Canada. I'm Norman Swan.